You know, I don't think it'd be summer without a new Loon Lake mystery book for us to read. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We have the author of that mystery series with us today, Rhinelander's own Victoria Houston. Her latest book is called Dead Big Dog, and dog is spelled D-A-W-G. And it's out today, as a matter of fact. I've had a chance to read this book and really enjoyed it. Have you read her books? Do you have any questions about any of the characters or the plots? Maybe you've got some questions about writing. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, and we would certainly love to hear from you. Victoria Houston, welcome back.
Well, good morning, Larry. Wonderful to be here.
I was really kind of disappointed in this book because nobody dies until the third paragraph of the first page.
Are you sure? You didn't read very closely.
The third paragraph of the first page? Go ahead.
I kind of think it's in the first sentence of the first page, but, you know.
Oh, maybe I didn't read it carefully.
Well, would you like me to read it to you? It's very short.
All right, read that first sentence to me.
Staring into the eyes of the great horned owl, the old woman died happy.
Oh.
There we go.
You are exactly right. Well, now I have to take back everything I said.
Yeah.
About having to wait so long.
Interview.
Always good to talk to you. Man, oh, man. This is book 19.
Boy, if someone had told me that 22 years ago when I started writing this series, I think I would have had a nervous breakdown. So, yeah.
When did you know you had a great series going?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm humble enough to think I never quite thought of it as a great series. I was happy to have a series going. And it was probably when my agent called me after I had submitted the first manuscript. And she said two things. She said, number one, this isn't bad. Now, that was good to hear from her, because earlier she had said about earlier work, it's so bad, don't show it to anyone who loves you unconditionally. she said, this is not bad. Then she said, but publishers love series. And for me, having finished that first manuscript and getting to know these characters, I was sort of regretting the fact that I'd have to make up a whole new bunch. And so when she told me that, my joke is she wanted synopses of potentially, you know, more books in the series. And my joke is that all it took me was one glass of wine. and I had synopses or ideas for two more books in the series. And then those took off, and pretty soon I got another three-book deal. And then I was approached by another publisher who said they wanted to publish me. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and it's been a good career. So it's been fun.
It has been a good career. We've talked about this in the past on the show, but I think for those who haven't heard you talk before, how did you come to this series?
Well, it was not the easiest approach because, first of all, I was a published author of nonfiction books. And then I was also working in the book publishing industry. And the company I was working for, published a lot of cartoonists and a lot of, sort of general nonfiction authors. And we published one mystery writer. And I'm sitting in this editorial meeting, and at that point, I had two books under my belt, two nonfiction books. And this mystery writer announced that he had just gotten a new contract and he was going to get $100,000 per book. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, my nonfiction books, I've gotten one-tenth that amount of money. I think I'm in the wrong business. And so I decided I'd write mysteries. Now, I love mysteries, reading them, you know, my whole life. But I set out to write a mystery, and, you know, I did my usual process, which is to work a full-time job, but then write at night. And if you do that every day for, you know, a year, you end up with a book at the end. And then when I sent it to my agent, she sent it back. She said, well, this is, you know, this has a few problems. Well, the fourth time she sent it back was when she said, this is so bad. You know, don't show this to anybody. Face it. You're a nonfiction writer, not a fiction writer. And so the truth of it, which I acknowledged to myself, was that I had done it by the seat of my pants. I hadn't paid attention to the conventions of writing genre fiction. And one of the things in writing a mystery that you don't do is tell people who did it in the first paragraph or in the first chapter. And I had made that mistake. So then I was fortunate enough through my work, through my publishing career, to connect with a book review editor at Newsweek magazine. We became friends. I learned that he was writing mysteries, and he introduced me to a really good writer's workshop in New York City for mystery writers. And that instructor was a published writer, and she only ever gave us one assignment, and that was to write the autobiography of a character, come to class, and read it out loud. And it took me almost a year to figure that out, because what she was teaching us was how to show, not tell, on the page. And once I did figure it out, that's quite a barrier for a nonfiction writer to cross, to go from telling to showing. But once I got started, then I made my second big mistake, which was I set it in Kansas City, where I'd lived for 15 years. I set it against the background of art theft, because I'd been the art critic for the Kansas City Star in a national magazine. And I had a protagonist who was just a brilliant, lovely 40-year-old woman like me. And I got started writing, and I'm about 45 pages into it, where the story, because by this time I had discovered that I'm character driven, not plot driven.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden the story turned to Wisconsin with one of the characters in the story fishing with his dog in the boat, and he comes on this mysterious thing in the water. And right then I sent that material in to a mentor program at Mystery Writers of America, which had just sort of popped up. And when that assessment came back, the person who read the material said, when I first started to read this material, I was going to suggest this writer go back to school. But when the story turned to Wisconsin, it just sparkled. It came alive. And that, Larry, was the start of the Loon Lake mystery series. I looked at Doc Osborne in his fishing boat, and I thought, well, let's get going, and no idea where we're going, but let's get started. So
that is a great story. And you know, you lived in that northern Wisconsin, you know, kind of Rhinelander area. You had lived there as a younger person, and so you knew that area.
Well, I grew up here, and it's not only the area, although I will say it's a landscape. I like to say that I can write from the inside out versus trying to write, you know, Missouri, which is so boring in comparison. But anyway, the other thing is I grew up in the culture of fishing, and my father and my grandfather, and my uncle, they were all dentists, but my dad pretty much told us as kids that the only reason to practice dentistry was so you could afford to fish.
and that gets repeated in your book once in a while.
Yeah, probably, I'm sure. And so, you know, it is a culture that really lends itself well to mystery writing, because if you're a fisherman of muskie, walleye, and bass, you know, you are on the water. And if you're a fly fisherman, which is what I have been in the past, you are in the water. So you got two things going on. Number one, water, which can be lovely on a day like today, or very dangerous. And also, if you're out fishing in the stream as a fly fisherman, the stream itself is owned, you know, by the state. But The minute you step on land, that's private. And I kind of say, you know, unkindly, you never know if you're stepping on something that belongs to people who eat their young. So you have to be careful. Plus, you know, just fishing itself gets you out there, gets you out of your comfortable zone of all your, you know, usual little socioeconomic circles. And it just really provides a lot of opportunity for things to happen.
Well, yeah, I've been a fisherman my whole life, a muskie fisherman. I enjoy the most, but I've caught a little of everything, I think, over time. So I certainly can agree with you with what you were saying about fishing and getting out and doing those things and those kinds of things. You do forget about a lot of the other things in life while you're out there, you know?
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, one of my favorite writers is the gentleman who wrote Anatomy of a Murder. And he was just a dedicated expert fly fisherman. And he makes the point, you know, fishing isn't just about fishing. It's about being out there with the water and the landscape and the trees and the animals. The other day I saw a cougar. So, you know, it's a good way to keep yourself honest.
And again, your titles, this is Dead Big Dog, this one, but I can think back to, oh, Dead Little Hustler, Dead Rapunzel, Dead Loudmouth, Dead Spider, Dead Hotshot, all lures.
All lures or trout flies.
Yes.
And it's so funny because they don't play a role in the story. I mean, they are, aside from the fact that one of my characters may use either the trout fly or that particular lure once, but I really need to have that title before I start a book. I don't ask me why, but I love poring over those catalogs of musky lures and walleye and bass lures, and then trout flies. They're just gorgeous. So it's so fun coming up with the titles.
Our guest today is Victoria Houston, author of the Loon Lake Mystery Series. She has her 19th book out in that series. It's called Dead Big Dog. Questions for her. We haven't even talked about the book yet. We'll get to that, though. I can promise you, you may have some questions about the book or maybe comments for her about reading some of those past books or maybe a question about writing. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Talking today with Victoria Houston, author of 19 books in the Loon Lake Mystery Series. The latest is a dandy. It's called Dead Big Dog. D-A-W-G is how dog is spelled. That's a lure. And I tell you what, her books have a lot of allure, I think. And questions for her, comments, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And just to let you know, I know WPR is, and we are aware that we are having some reception problems and we are working on it. So, you know, we're on 18 stations across the state and sometimes we get a problem here or there. And I just to let you know that our staff is working on that to get it fixed. So you probably don't have to call to let us know because we already know, which is too bad, as a matter of fact. Well, let's talk some more. Does it help keeping things fresh by bringing in, you've got these main characters that we love, those who, Llewellyn Ferris is the police chief, Doc Osborne is the retired dentist, Ray Pratt, guide and expert tracker, and Mallory, his doc's daughter, comes in once in a while. And so there are, those are sort of regular characters. And then there are other characters that you bring in aside from that sort of close-knit family.
Yes.
And that helps to keep things fresh, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. And they are always tied to what's happening in the story, that each, you know, book is very different from the other. And usually, since people are always interested in where my ideas come from, they often come from either life experience or articles I've read. And because I'm just a fanatic reader of the Daily New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, and always hidden in those newspapers away from international and national news are wonderful little stories. And in this case, there's a very peculiar one because I had given a library talk in a tiny town in Wisconsin, Belleville, Wisconsin. And, you know, just a lovely little town. I get home after that talk, this is about 18 months ago, and I open the New York Times weekly, daily paper, and there's an article about Belleville, Wisconsin. And it turns out that there was a small firm there that discovered that their computers, their one computer, kind of a dusty old PC, stuck back in a garage, had been taken over by hackers from Asia. And by taking over that computer, they had wormed their way into banks and healthcare institutions. And I mean, it was just phenomenal. Furthermore, once the, whether it was the CIA or NSA started looking into it, they found that there were six other locations in the United States where these hackers were operating. But what were the chances they'd be operating in Belleville, Wisconsin? So if they're going to be in Belleville, they can sure as heck be in Loon Lake. That's what I thought.
That was a great idea. I love that idea that that there's, you know, you got this computer that you don't use or use it seldom, but it's on, and here's somebody coming in from a long ways away and hacking it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and this is true, that this really happens. Pretty phenomenal. Another thing that was fun in working on this book is that my former husband, his father had been a top-level spy for the National Security Agency. So they're international, above the CIA. And he had told me years ago, he was chuckling over the fact that they had had a staff person who really kept my father-in-law, his name was Joe, kept Joe and a couple other people who were very high-level spies, kept them from being able to talk to the director of the NSA. And it turns out when that person supposedly retired and moved away, one of Joe's colleagues, who had been very irritated by this, decided to track that individual down. And what he discovered was that all of these high-level spies had been totally bamboozled by that individual, because that individual turned out to be after years of working with them, presenting themselves as a guy, turned out to be a woman, and she was a real estate broker. And so I thought, you know, you never know what human beings are capable of. So kind of use something like that, too.
Yeah, and that worked well in your book. Randy in Tomahawk has something for us. Let's go to Randy. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Miss Houston. Just kind of have a character idea. Hi. I have a character idea for you. My mother bought all of your books and came in and got them signed whenever you were at the library. She was a women's advocate and the first production worker in the Rhinelander Mill. I just thought it'd be an interesting character to throw into one of your books.
That would be, because there were not that many women working in the mill. Thank you. One of my sisters worked there. I mean, we're talking, you know, almost 50 years ago. And I think along with your mother, she was probably one of the women pioneering, you know, working. Was your mother on kind of the production side?
She was. She was one of the first production workers. That's correct. Yes.
Wow.
That's cool.
Amazing. Yeah. Yep.
Thanks for that tip. Do you get a lot of tips or ideas from readers of your book?
I do, off and on. And usually I have one rule, which is I will never use material that is based, you know, that is true and to this area. Like I would never use certainly I'll use something out of Belleville, Wisconsin, but I would never use anything related to a crime occurring, you know, around Rhinelander, Eagle River, Minocqua.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But usually when people give me suggestions, I talk to them and I say, you know, there's something you can do. It's called put your butt in the chair and write your own book because you've got a good idea.
There you go. Randy, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, man. JC in Madison will give you a chance now. Hi, JC.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning.
Great. I love your books, by the way. I do have a question. I have always been fascinated with writing, and I have a lot of great, interesting beginner ideas. But where do you suggest I start? What is the best place to start this career?
So once you have an idea, well, you're saying, JC.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you want to start writing. First of all, you've got the good fortune of living in Madison. And I know that in Madison there is a summer writing program. But I encourage people to, number one, look in their region to try to find a writer's conference of some attend that and get some ideas from other people who may very well be starting out. And a good, you know, writer's group or writer's program is helpful. There are some very good books out there, and one of the best maybe is one written by Stephen King. And I believe the title is On Writing Well. But Stephen King, the author, did a very good book on writing, and I would highly recommend that. Really begin to get out and meet some other writers, and become comfortable with, you know, a process that works for you. And believe me, you do not have to write all day every day. If you can sit down at the computer and put in an hour a day, you can get started and, you know, one foot in front of the other. You'd be surprised what you can accomplish.
Do you tend to, I mean, do you kind of outline a book before you actually sit down to write it, Victoria?
Well, there are two kinds of writers in the mystery field. One's character-driven, one's plot-driven. I'm character-driven. So what I do is I go through, first of all, let's assume I've finished a book. Then I take a one-month break. Then I go through a file I've kept that previous year of clippings from different newspaper articles usually.
Yeah.
And kind of think about those for a little bit. And I think about those three main characters of mine and what might be happening in their lives. And then I sit down and I do a 1.5 page synopsis of the murder that I've decided will open the story. And then secondary characters, I think, may play a role. And what's happening in my main character's lives. A page and a half. And then I get started. And I may refer back to that periodically, but the final product, the final story, really changes as I go along because I'm driven by how I, you know, I know my characters, I know how they would behave in certain circumstances. And then sometimes my joke is I get, you know, to the middle of the story, I read through it and I think to myself, uh-oh, what happens next? You know, how did this end? And I have learned over time, I have a natural arc to my stories. I have half the book is the arc of discovering all of the happenings and what people are doing. And then the second part is kind of a resolution of how this is all coming together. So it's fun.
No, JC, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org with your questions or comments for Victoria Houston. Her latest book is called Dead Big Dog. You know, sometimes in your books, and I've read all but one, there was one I never could find somehow, but I can't remember off the top of my head now. I wrote them all down. there was one I couldn't find, and I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to give up, and I just kept reading the others. It was an earlier one. You typically there may be one dead person, one person dies. There could be other, you know, sort of other kinds of stories going on around that kind of relate to that death. This time you have quite a few victims.
Yeah.
You're killing them off.
Sometimes. You know what you're reminding me of? You asked me about, you know, readers giving, you know, having suggestions. Well, I also get reader complaints. And one person emailed me that they'd never read another one of my books because, you know what? People die. And I thought, gee, sweetie, it's called a murder mystery. And you can't have a murder mystery without that happening. And then another person complained that I set a casino on, you know, Highway 45 in a location that they said there is no casino. So I got back to them and I said, please, believe in the F word, fiction. So, yeah.
Well, let's go to Mark in Black River Falls and see what's on Mark's mind. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Morning.
I want to thank you for your program, and good morning to you as well. And for one of the best authors I've heard and never read yet, you've explained a lot of the hurdles that I've been encountering and beginning writing. I've got one question for you, however. How
sure.
would a person go about dealing with separate agencies? My case I'm coming in is I had served during the first Gulf War. I cannot say much of what occurred. However, I'd like to write someday in the future. How do I go about getting clearance through different agencies?
Oh, so sensitive information. That would be a toughie. Have you ever had to do that, Victoria?
I haven't. But, you know, I'm not dealing with that kind of material. My suggestion would be there have been some other people who have been connected to the military, who have written books, both fiction and nonfiction, and who've had to get those clearances. And I think if you do some Google searches, you can find them, and you can find out how to proceed. But other than that, since I don't do any relative to the military whatsoever, So that's where I would start.
I think that's a really good idea. Mark, you probably already have an author or two in mind that who's kind of written that way. Why not write to that person, him or her, and or a couple of them, and just ask them about it? And you can be a little more specific, probably, in describing the kind of clearance you might need.
Right. And most writers today have websites, and you can email them through their website, too.
Oh, that's a good idea as well. I like that idea. Mark, thanks so much for calling. Good luck with your writing. Appreciate your call. You know, we haven't even gotten to the plot. You know, we sort of talked about the plot, but give us the general outline of the plot of your book.
Well, basically, and, you know, I'm going to kind of crib from the back of the book, but a couple are found dead. A couple of, you know, who have a summer home are found dead near Loon Lake. And at the same time, although not immediately, the body of a elderly lawyer also turns up. And in the meantime, there is that issue where some federal agents arrive because there has been a computer hacked in the office of a small sawmill. And so all of that comes together with the responsibility for finding out who is the culprit behind or culprits behind the different murders. And at the same time, you know, Doc Osborne is pulled in because of his skill with forensic dentistry. And then he and Chief Llewellyn Ferris also have some family issues going on, which, you know, sort of fills their schedule. And trying to find, you know, do their work and get that taken care of at the same time that other people are distressed on other matters, it just becomes a very stressful couple of weeks in Loon Lake.
It is indeed. I thought it was interesting. Mallory, Doc Osborne's daughter, shows up with a younger guy that she has become. I don't know. She likes a lot, and she kind of turns
the father's appalled.
She turns the tables on her dad when he talked to her about the age difference between her and the man she was dating.
Right, and she's dating a guy who's about 10 years younger, and so she looks at Doc Osborne and happens to mention that, by the way, Chief Llewellyn Ferris, who appears to be a very close friend, is also 10 years younger. So what's your problem?
I wondered why you decided to make him younger than her. Was it just for that line, or was there...
Well, no, Larry, my second book that I ever published years ago was titled Loving a Younger Man: How Women Are Finding and Enjoying a Better Relationship. So I'm an expert on the subject. Now, it was based on a former husband to whom I am no longer married, but the marriage didn't end for any age reasons, you know.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. Well, before we run out of time, I want to be sure to get in that you have some readings coming up at some really nice bookstores, some that I like a lot. Can you tell us where you're going to
be? Well, this Friday I will be at Mystery to Me in Madison. And next week on the 19th, I'll be over in Minneapolis at Once Upon a Crime. But also in the meantime, books are available at Yonke Bookstore in Wausau. And there's a new bookstore in Minocqua called The Shade Tree, and they have plenty of books. And usually if you're near Barnes & Noble, they'll have books. And then I've got some library talks coming up, but they're pretty much going to be next fall. So those are the key ones right now.
Yeah, so June 14th at 7 p.m. at Mystery to Me Bookstore in Madison. Right. That's a cool one. I like that bookstore. June 19th, 7 p.m. at Once Upon a Crime Bookstore in Minneapolis. Yeah. And then July 6th, this is a Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1, you're going to be at the Shade Tree Bookstore in Minocqua for an author signing. You enjoy going and doing those things?
Oh, love it. Just love it for a couple reasons. Number one, it's a wonderful way to support the bookseller. And number two, it's just fun to meet and talk with people. I always enjoy it.
And are you working on number 20 yet?
Not yet. And here's the situation. As I finished with 19, that is as many as Simon & Schuster has decided they'd like to publish. Now, in the book publishing world, a company as large as Simon & Schuster, really, you have to sell 500,000 to 1 million books. And this girl does not sell that many books. I sell more in the neighborhood of maybe 50,000. And that's plenty of books for a smaller publisher. But before I approach a smaller publisher, I have had been contacted by a very established, respected television director, producer, who is interested in pitching the series to the Hallmark Channel. So I am just waiting to see if that happens. Because if that happens, Larry, as it goes in the business world, then I'll have a little more leverage. And maybe I can get that $100,000 advance.
That would really be cool. I would love to see that whole Loon Lake mystery series brought to life.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and the guy... I like I've had some back and forth with the television producer, and he's done several series for Hallmark already, one with Patricia Cornwell, who's pretty well known, and another one with Charlaine Harris, who did a series that True Blood was based on. And when he got in touch with me, he said he has the location he'd love to use up in British Columbia, and he's got an actor in mind for Doc Osborne and one for Chief Ferris. So I kind of like that feeling. And since what I said to him was, you know, I have my oldest son has been a comedy game show writer in television now for about 25 years, and it is not an easy business. So I said, you know, take your time, pitch. If we get turned down a few times, I totally understand. We'll just kind of hang in there. Because I think that would be great fun to see that on television.
Oh, I would heartily agree. It would be so much fun to see those characters. Although I have a pretty good look, you know, you say you're character driven, and I really do have a pretty good idea of what they look like and certainly how they act.
Sure.
And
so you'd hate to see an actor that doesn't follow through with your idea, for heaven's sake.
Well, I tell you what, I read this and I thought, man, this was a good one.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, Victoria. It's always fun to talk with you. And one of these times we're going to have to get together in person again. I think the last time I think the only time we met was at a function up in your neck of the woods.
Yes, up in Plum Lake, up in Saner.
Yeah, up in Saner. Yeah. And it was fun talking to you then. It'd be fun now that we've had many conversations since then, but not face to face.
Well, next time you're in the North Woods, Larry, you know, send me an email and we'll get together. How's that sound?
That sounds like a plan. Maybe we'll meet at that McDonald's where Doc Osborne and his group meet.
Oh, sure.
Or maybe someplace.
Something like a healthy breakfast.
Oh, thanks, Victoria. A lot of fun. I really appreciate you being with us. We'll look forward to, keep me informed. Let me know what's going on. With...
I will. And just so you know, if the TV show doesn't happen, then I will write another book. But right now I'm taking the summer easy and getting in some fishing. So,
well, good for you. Thanks, Victoria. Okay. Victoria Houston is the author of 19 books in the Loon Lake series. Her latest is titled Dead Big Dog. D-A-W-G is how that dog is spelled. That's a musky lure. And it's always fun to talk with her. She always brings something a little different every time we talk. We get into the book a little bit, but we spend a whole lot of time talking about other things as well. And speaking of other things, we are going to be taking a look next at a UW-Madison teaming up with the National Institutes of Health on some research. And it's kind of really kind of cool stuff. And you could get involved in it. So stay with us. We'll be back with our two guests, Dorothy Farrar Edwards and with Tricia Denman next on the Ideas Network.